Okay. All
Felicia
right.
Conrad is with us. Earth Love is the short film. It's a dance film played at the Experimental Dance Film Festival. It is a film, amazing dance film. It's a film about loving Earth, right? That's it. It's simple and it's thematic, but it's complicated in its structure because we have to learn to love Earth. That's what you're telling us in the film.
That's right. And also to maybe a reminder of that we are not separated from Earth. We are Earth ourselves. I
Yeah.
mean, we're, yeah, that's how it is.
And your film is about dancing and being one with nature, right?
Or maybe trying to find another language in ourselves to kind of leave space to find a dialogue, not for being, I think that is so often. I mean, it's very easy. Our language is all over, so we call everything different species. We call tree trees, but we don't know if it's their own name for themselves. I mean, so we have not left that space of the dialogue of other species languages. So I think we have a huge task to kind of step back and leave this space
Yeah.
for other to communicate with us if they want to.
I don't think they want to. They're like humans, like we've been around for billions of years. Like you've only been around for 20,000. Like you got maybe 10,000 years to go, and then you'll be out of here. So you're just a speck in the wind, right? So
It's yeah, I'm not sure about that actually, because I mean, it's so complicated, but actually sometimes it's like different experiences you have in your life, like coming close to another living species, and you find a kind of dialogue, and in a way it opens up another sense of, like, becoming with. It's like, it's this popular expression of Donna Haraway, making kin. I mean, and I, maybe love is universal. So if you have love, maybe other species also recognize love. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I think so. I think so. Well, there's definitely communication happening, even with the trees, right? We've learned that the one thing they like about humans is that we're curious. We're curious that we're getting to know them, right? Who they are, right? The animals and the tree and the plants, like they're like, oh, you guys getting to know us. You're trying to figure out who we are. That's a good thing.
That could be a start, I
Yeah.
think.
But why the artificial lights? Why the pollution? Why chopping us down? Like why are you doing that though? Like, you know what I mean?
And it is if you could hear these, I mean, we are in different frequencies when we listen to things, but if you could really hear and sense other species, I think maybe it's possible for them to actually to communicate directly to us about that. I think so, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if we continue like this, it will be a total collapse.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And that will also, I mean, it's already, the collapse has already happened to a lot of species that had disappeared from Earth.
Yeah, well they're moving. I do a lot of environmental films and the ocean is completely changing. Like fish are going, like fish that were in like in the United States area now are in Mediterranean Sea. Like they're all, and then like there's salt water and there's sea like water, and so dolphins, for example, can't adapt to the salt water because they're not used to it. But then they're learning they have to adapt because we're messing up the everything in the world, right? So
And we in Sweden, On the other side, I'm on the west side, close to Denmark, but on the yeah. other side in the Baltic Sea. The Baltic Sea is the fastest, what do you say, war? It's getting heat. The heating is going on there is the fastest in the whole world. So up in the north, north of Baltic Sea, they have a surface temperature, and now it's Celsius. I don't know what it's called in Fahrenheit, but it's in Celsius, it's 19.6 today.
Okay.
And that's 10 degrees more than it usually is.
Like so this 10, time.
Yes, 10 degrees.
So then the species that are in that Baltic Sea are forced to move or adjust, and you can't evolve that quickly, right? Like if you've been living in the same, like,
yeah.
imagine us humans having to, maybe everything's 110 degrees. Like, how are we going to evolve in like yeah. in a week, like to this hot temp? No, it's like either we die or yeah. you know what I mean? Like, or we have to move somewhere else.
Yeah, it's and actually the biggest dead zone is also in the Baltic Sea. We have 7 dead zones in the Baltic Sea, and one is the biggest in the whole world. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there are huge problems. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we talked before we press record because we don't want to get political, but yeah. So we talked about the political base in Sweden. So basically, yeah. we're all yeah. over the world. Like, we're like, people yeah, just yeah, don't care, yeah. right? So.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, if you think about the indigenous groups that have 80% of the world's diversity, the biological diversity where they live, and they are only 4% of the world's people. So I think there is actually differences. Maybe they have learned their lessons more than our, what to say, like modern designed capitalistic, what do you say, like societies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have not learned.
Well, there it's a point of view, because we're financially motivated as a species. So that's our main motivation, to have a house, to have, you know, the big to make films, to live, right? To go on vacation. So then that, like, just from a cultural standpoint, that those people that you reference, they don't have that motivation. Their motivation is not generally financially motivated, right? So therefore their minds, their headspace change is the different, they feel differently than we do, right? So
yeah, they're more connected.
Yeah.
To, yeah. But they don't also, I mean, they also, how can I say, they, I mean, they are affected by our societies. We have our indigenous group here in Sweden up north, Sapmi people, they don't get, I mean, it's always a kind of conflict in their, where they live, and they don't get what they really need for living the life that they have lived for many thousand years. But it's a conflict everywhere with the indigenous groups and the so-called societies. Yeah.
So your film has done well on the festival circuit. It has won many awards. It has been screened at many festivals. I'm just, from a selfish standpoint, that must make you feel good, right? That it's played in so many places around the world.
Yes. Yes. It makes me happy, because, I mean, to share this playfulness and also this warmth that we still have and care in some senses, and also this, what can you say, trying to inspire people and to give impulses to play and to find other ways of connecting. It's a very short and simple film in some senses, but hopefully it brings some heartfelt feelings to other people.
Well, I think it's already been proven that it does, right? So that's why it resonates with a lot of people from a universal standpoint. It doesn't matter where country you're watching the film. Everybody can relate to it to a certain. Everybody can relate to the film. So that's So tell me about the dancers. You have six dancers. Where did you find them?
We have a lot of dancers here in Malmö, and we have a dancing company that's called Skånes Dansteater. And two of the dancers work there, but they are working there in different, how can you say, they work there, then they go to somewhere else. So this was a period when they were free from that Skånes Dansteater, dance theater. It's called dance theater. And I think that is because they are the theater there is inspired by Pina Bausch. So that's why it's called dance theater. And the dancers is Georgios Pelagis and Ricardo Sandona. And they come from Italy and Greece originally, but they live here in Sweden and they are touring around in different places. And the other dancers, they are freelance dancers. And Nidja, she comes from Argentina. And she also works with a lot with tango, of course, but she also works a bit with theater and dance together, pulled together. And then there is the dancer Jerry that has been very much a climber in trees. He climbs a lot and he also sings a lot. He's been a musical artist also. And then we have Aimé Lia that comes from Canada. From British Columbia, and her mother is still, I think it's her father that comes from Sweden, actually, because she comes from both Canada and Sweden.
Yeah.
And she, yeah. And she works a lot with, what can you say, small scale projects here in Sweden. And then there is the youngest one, Isabella. And Isabella is actually starting to become an artist right now. She goes to art school. So she's not dancing so much right now. Yeah, but yeah.
So I know you had a choreographer, guiding choreographer on credits, but I'm assuming a lot of this dancing was improvised. Like they were feeling what they were feeling.
Exactly. I mean, we had some guidance before, but Miguel and I was prepared, you know, but when we came to the place, it was just like, okay, we just stand back and gave some, what can you say, suggestions, but they were already into it. And because I feel like they were all touched by of doing this, they all felt the same about it. So they already had some, what can I say, something going on with themselves. So the presence, immediately when the camera was on, it was just like presence was all over the place. It was so easy. I mean, I have never done anything that was so easy. It didn't, there was no effort. There was some sense of humor and poetry and very, how can I say, tenderness. Yeah, I think tenderness is an embrace, like embracing. Yeah, so it was embracing flow all over the place.
So in terms of your shooting style, like it's all kind of like handheld and you're kind of, it's almost like the camera is dancing itself in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. And Benjamin, he's a film photographer that has lived actually in Australia for some time and been filming there. And he is, I mean, he's been to very many professional productions, but he also makes small local projects like this. And he really likes to work with handheld camera, and as I am, you know, balancing between art and film now. And the most art people, they are not so experienced with this hand camera, but he's so physical all the time. So he has a huge easiness with going with this flow of movements. And I think that's pretty rare, because mostly when you film dance, the camera is very static in some senses. And then you try to cut. It's very rare that you see that someone can follow the movement so easy. Yeah. And it's a lot because of him, I think also.
It's almost like his camera work is improvised too, right? Where like he's just going What did you think? We sent the audience to you, the North American audience to you. What did you think they had to say about your film?
What did you say now?
What did you think? What did you think? We sent you the audience feedback video. What did you think about what they said about your film?
We were crying. We were crying. We were very touched. It was very warm. And yeah, so we were just crying and feeling grateful for them that they had opened up like that. It was just beautiful for us to sense that. And yeah, so yeah, it was lovely.
And you've made some, thank you. I'm glad you, like I said, it resonates with everybody, but you've made some films since then, since this film, correct?
No, I made, this is the second film. So the first film is called Precious Balance Walk.
Yeah.
It's also filmed locally here in Malmö. And that is with six performance artists that are making like performative actions in and with water. So that film was filmed 2019, and then the corona came and there was a lot of, so it was finished 2021 fully, and I think I'm going to make another film, the third film, that it will be called The Water Banquet. I think, yeah, with six singers, and maybe with glaciers. I'm not sure. But yeah.
On your website, there's like she says, that's not a film.
Yeah, that's a film too, but that's more like a video film.
Okay.
And that's, I have a kind of collaboration with a professor in spatial arts in New Zealand, Juliana. My God, now I'm nervous. I forget her. But anyhow, we have made different experimental, what can you say, more video and or audiovisual. We have communicated wordlessly with our voices. So it's more like with voice and sounds and two different videos.
But it's like, but I guess you're not saying it's a film, but you're still making movies though. They're like, but you're calling it videos.
I call that video, but yes, I didn't plan to make films. So it's a kind of, I still feel like it's a bit, how can I say, unreal. It's so fun. I've never planned to make movies, but I had one experience when I was younger, very young. We have a director called Bo Widerberg. He is one of the most, after Ingmar Bergman, he is the second most famous old director. Now we have some other, Ruben Östlund and some other directors that are more famous, but he was one of the most famous directors, and I actually got to become his director assistant once, and I think I learned a lot, but I never became a director then. I went into other worlds, but when when this came up that I started to make film now in my older age, it's like I really realized that I learned a lot from this director. He was very how can you say, he was very he inspired his actors, because he worked with actors. I have not worked with actors, but he never, when they were on stage doing something, he never interrupted them. Never. If they interrupted themselves, he could come up to them and say, like, I have a suggestion. Would you like to try this? And the actor could say, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I think, okay, thank you. And then, so the whole thing was that this magic really became real, and the presence became so strong because the actors felt really that they were really respected. Never interrupt them.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's one of the great things that I've learned to him, because I've seen other directors work and they always get, oh, wait, can you please do something like that? But he never did that. He never did that. No. So he always suggested things. And I think that has helped me, because I feel like if you work with other people that are creative, you can suggest things, but you are there when you're a director, you're there to inspire them, because you have some kind of ground instructions. But it's very important that they don't feel like they have to do something that I tell them to do. Yeah.
Gotcha. No, that's interesting. It's an interesting standpoint. So
you
got to keep making movies. That's basically what we've learned here. You got to keep making movies.
Yeah, I have one film, and I don't think I will, because I'm not so interested in the whole film world. I think it's very complicated. It's so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's very, I mean, you have to have a lot of money, but I will try to make another film.
But look what you've done, though. You've made two films, and they've done so well. And that never happens. They've done so well on the festival circuit. You know that this doesn't happen, right?
No, I don't know, because I'm a bit inexperienced in that sense. Yeah.
Most people's first film that's your film school. And then, but then your second film, all your films are doing well. Even your videos, quote unquote, are nice films too. So
Thank you, very much.
You're resonating with the human emotion. I know that sounds corny, me saying that out loud, but you are. You're like, there's something that you're touching. You're touching something that feels good, that feels interesting to people. That's why they like your films.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Matt. But I will say it's a very collective piece.
Sure. The collaborative medium, right?
I think, and I hope that's why people kind of get touched, because they can feel that collectiveness also.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, look what you did in your film, right? You let your cinematographer improvise with the shots. You let your dancers improvise, and you had a great location and a great setting, and you just sat back and let them do their thing, right?
Yeah, and I laughed a lot.
You laughed a lot, and that's what.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best director right there. Just get out of the way.
And at the same time, be present, but not in the way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations on the film. And let's talk again when you make your next movie.
Thank you so much, Matthew. And thank you for your beautiful festival. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you so much.